This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, a wonderful Wednesday hump day. We're almost to the weekend, kind of. Either way, we're over halfway there. We're over halfway. Put a smile on your face. There's a lot to get to tonight. Well, at some point in time, we'll get to Russia, Ukraine. We'll get to the communist world of make-believe. An amazing stat just came out about the knowledge the public has about Charlie Kirk's assassination. I'm going to tell you right now, in the opening hour, half hour, I don't know, maybe 2 hours, we're going to discuss a concept we talk about a lot on the show, the communists rewarding their friends and punishing their enemies. All that, Korean fried chicken, emails, and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's discuss something that has been discussed before and will be discussed over and over and over again on this show as we endeavor. What a great word, Chris. I read that today. What? That's a great word. As we endeavor to understand the mind of our enemy, understanding how communists operate, why they do, why they say the things they do is so important because we are in a battle for our country. It's a political battle right now. Lord willing, it never gets beyond that. But in any war, understanding your enemy, what he wants, why he does the things he does is critically important. And it's hard for normal people to understand the motivations of evil people, isn't it? I've always been fascinated by this. When you read some horrible story in the news, you know, something. What's the worst thing in the world? A couple abusing a kid. And some horrible story about some kid who's been abused by his parents. I find myself sitting there thinking, how could you? I don't understand it. It's so beyond my understanding. I love my son so much, my little buddies. I just couldn't imagine any reason why. And I try to understand, right? So let's discuss power and the concept of power and how the communist views it versus how you view it, or at least how you want to. Good people, decent people view power as an opportunity to help others, right? To better the lives of others, not themselves, in various forms. Maybe you're wealthy, maybe you want to be, but I would venture to guess, if I asked you, what would you do with $1 billion? If I could give you $1 billion, that probably somewhere on your list, after you bought some Red Lobster and a sports car, somewhere on your list, you would mention helping somebody, something, in some way, wouldn't you? Well, why? Because you have something, and you understandably think the idea of having something is to help others. Political power, any kind of political power, whatever level it is, good, decent people naturally think about how they would help their community or state or country if given that power. If I asked you right now what you would do if I could make you president right now, you're sworn in, you sit down in the Oval Office, maybe your list of things you would do, maybe it aligns with me, maybe it doesn't. I'm sure there'd be some overlap, but I bet you money the list of things you would do, they're selfless things, aren't they? Things that are about helping the country. Whether we agree or not, they're about helping the country. That's how normal, decent people think. The communist doesn't think that way at all. That never enters his mind. We have to always understand how and why he thinks the way he does, why he operates the way he does, and we have to understand how he thinks about power. He seeks it out, and whenever, wherever he obtains it, he will use his power to help his friends and punish his enemies. And that's the only thing in his mind power should ever be used for. The concept of helping another person or helping the community or helping the state or helping the country, he is completely unencumbered by these feelings, by these thoughts. They never cross his mind. All he thinks about, helping his friends, punishing his enemies. And look, maybe it's a judge. Maybe it's a judge. Well, if you were a judge, you would try to interpret the law, preside over cases, ensure that criminals are sent to prison. Of course, these are the things you would do. But remember, a communist doesn't think like that. He only puts on the judge's robes to help his friends and punish his enemies. Maybe it's even more power than that. Maybe it's the power of the presidency. We'll get to that. There's all kinds of stories out there about that. What do you do with presidency? Well, here's a great one. USPS, that's a postal service. USPS electric vehicle fleet behind schedule with $3 billion in taxpayer funds spent and only 612 vehicles built. Joe Biden got elected, worked with his communist allies to pass something hilariously named the Inflation Reduction Act. Of course, it had nothing to do with inflation. It made inflation worse. But again, communists lie about everything all the time. They wouldn't have any problem naming it an outright lie like that. What was the Inflation Reduction Act? Well, it's exactly what we just talked about. It's half of it anyway. What do they do with power? They reward their friends and punish their enemies. The Inflation Reduction Act was a theft of your money and a handout to the allies of the Democrat Party. $3 billion to build an electric vehicle fleet was never about actually building any electric vehicles. That's why they didn't build any electric vehicles. It was about stealing your money and handing it to your friends. So again, maybe it's a large amount of power where you're the president and you can push through a law that hands out billions to friends. But remember, it's not just about having a large amount of power. Any power, any, even what you would consider to be a small amount of power, any power should be used to punish your enemies and reward your friends. Maybe the only power you have? Maybe you're a 65-year-old unemployed communist woman. And maybe you got a job as a librarian at the local library. You wouldn't think of that as a powerful position, right? After all, she can't raise your taxes, open up your border. I mean, what power does she actually have? Well, it's only a little, but it still can be used for the revolution. And that's how she looks at it. You would never look at it that way if I made you a librarian, but that's how she looks at it. So when she walks into work, she thinks about the power she's been given and how it can be used. Therefore, hey, you know what we need in the kids section? We need a gigantic LGBTQ display.
Why are you gay?
We have to make sure those little kids are waterboarded with rainbow propaganda. After all, if we can train one of them, he'll be a Democrat for life. She doesn't have much power, but she has the power to do that. Maybe we take those Bibles. Let's stuff those back in the corner. No big deal. Let's get the demonic stuff up front. Make sure Jesus and his word is tucked in the back, shall we? What else can she do? Well, she's got a little bit of a budget. There's always a budget to do some sort of community reading. And she could have a veteran come in, maybe a coach, some sort of established local human being, successful, that could maybe do some kind of an event with the kids. But how would that help the revolution? How would it help the revolution to bring in a World War II veteran? That wouldn't help the revolution. You know what would? Let's get a drag queen in here to read to the kids on Saturday. We got a little budget. We want to help the revolution. What would be better for the revolution than making sure Aiden, Jaden, and Braden are seated in front of a man in a dress pretending to be a woman and learning to accept this kind of disgusting degeneracy? That's how the communist looks at power. It's all about the revolution. And we have to always understand and try to think like he thinks. At least try to understand how he thinks. We'll continue on this in a moment because there's a couple stories out there that reinforce this. Before I get to that, let me talk to you about how criminals think. When you're online, you don't probably think very much about putting in your name and address here, phone number there, email address here. It's just whatever. It's just information, right? But to criminals, the evil people, your information is everything because it's an opportunity to loot you, to steal from you. Why is identity theft so big? How have they not gotten a handle on this problem? I've heard people talk about it for years because the criminals recognize it's the easiest way to wipe people out, to steal money. There's a new data breach every day. Why? Because your data is worth money. LifeLock is the only protection you have. LifeLock has the reputation they have for a reason. They didn't pop up yesterday. For years, LifeLock has been letting people know, hey, your information's out there. Hey, you need to guard this, change this. And for years, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialists, they'll fix it when something goes wrong. And it will at some point in time. They guarantee it or your money back. Save up to 40% off your first year at LifeLock.com with the promo code Jesse. Or you can call 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. Back to what we were discussing. Communists reward their friends and punish their enemies. Somalia is all in the news right now because the United States of America imported tens of thousands of people from the most wretched, fraudulent, warlord-driven country on planet Earth because we are suicidal with our immigration policies. We let 80,000 of them set up shop in the state of Minnesota, and now the former swing state of Minnesota is now solidly blue, and the taxpayers up there are routinely pillaged as Somali gangs roam the streets. So Somalia's in the news now. And you would think, if you were mayor of Minneapolis, attorney general of Minnesota, that this would probably be a problem for you, right? After all, these people are pillaging the taxpayers of your state. But again, that's how you would think. The communist doesn't think that way. How do you get elected if you want to be mayor of Minneapolis? Well, you have to campaign here and campaign there. But one thing you most definitely have to do, you've got to go let the Somalis know you're going to keep the scam going. Here's Jacob Frey.
He's wrong, and we want them here. Somali people have been an extraordinary benefit. I'll say it again. Somali people have been a benefit to our city for longer than I have been in our city. They have added to the cultural fabric of what Minneapolis is. They were welcoming to me when I first...
We're going to stop for just a second. Sorry. I have to talk about this. The cultural fabric. That's one of those words, whenever you hear it, that should just set off alarm bells in your mind the second you hear it. They add to the cultural fabric. You see, there's this insane way of thinking about the United States of America. Everyone on the left will push this. Old school, loser, low-T GOPers will push this. There's a good chance a teacher of yours from time to time tried to push this idea of cultural fabric. Melting pot. You've heard that saying, haven't you? Melting pot. They love to use that. Cultural fabric. And of course, whenever they're using that term, what are they always doing? It's weird. Whenever that term comes up, Have you, let me ask you this. I'll put it to you this way. Whenever you've heard a teacher, a politician, a member of the media, from any side, whenever you've heard them use the term melting pot or cultural fabric, have they ever once referred to that as in reference to the Christian community of this country? Ever once? Ever one time have you heard that? Oh, nah? No? Well, that's weird, because those were the people who founded the country. That was overwhelmingly the belief system of the people who wrote the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. In fact, it was a requirement. Church attendance was a requirement to be part of the government when this country was founded. Yet today, low-T GOPers, communists, media allies, professors, they'll constantly refer to the melting pot and cultural fabric, yet that's never, ever what they're referring to. Why? Because they're not actually interested in melting pot stuff. They're not interested in cultural fabric stuff. What they're interested in is weakening your defenses to what they're actually trying to do. They're not trying to weave Somalis into the cultural fabric of the United States of America. They're trying to change the fabric entirely into being something that will elect them without end. Jacob Frey is not actually concerned about Somalis being woven into the cultural fabric of America. Jacob Frey is interested in getting elected again and again and again. And even though the Mall of America looks like you just got airdropped into Mogadishu now, and he's well aware of the crime problems, the fraud, the violence, the abuse of women, he knows all these. And you can cite all these stats to him through your blue in the face. He understands that cultural fabric, there's a chance that term weakens your defenses. I'll let him go ahead and have his say.
He's wrong, and we want them here. Somali people have been an extraordinary benefit. I'll say it again. Somali people have been a benefit to our city for longer than I have been in our city. They have added to the cultural fabric of what Minneapolis is. They were welcoming to me when I first came out to Minneapolis. In fact, they were one of the first groups that I myself got to know. To, again, villainize an entire group is ridiculous under any circumstances. And the way that Donald Trump is consistently doing it, I think calls into question major constitutional violations. And it certainly violates the moral fabric of what we stand by in this country as Americans.
Jacob Frey is trying to reward his friends. Right now, ICE is tearing its way through Minneapolis, deporting all the criminal Somalis they can get their hands on there. And guys like Jacob Frey are worried about their friends. Keith Ellison, Attorney General of Minnesota, he's worried about his friends.
Most importantly, we're not going to turn our backs on our neighbors. But because, of course, Somali immigrants are good for Minnesota, just like Hmong immigrants are good for Minnesota, Mexican immigrants are good for Minnesota, German, Italian, Irish, Norwegian immigrants are good for Minnesota, and Anishinaabe and Dakota people are good for Minnesota, they are together what makes us us.
They're good for his voter rolls. All right, a couple more things. We'll move off this. We'll get to the punishing the enemies part. Before we do that, let's get to something awesome. Somebody asked me, hey, Bronco, yesterday you mentioned that you have at least 4 digital picture frames in your house. My question is, how many of those are dedicated to just your photos? His name is Chris. I actually pitched this idea to Ab that one of them should just be me, and it was rejected. She didn't feel like that was appropriate, but I want to remind you that Legacy Box will take your home movies. They'll take that big box of pictures, that wedding album, that baby album, and they'll digitize those. Not only they'll put it on the cloud, they'll send you a thumb drive. Imagine having all those memories digitized and having them forever. And imagine getting all this at 65% off. It's their Cyber Week event. Don't miss that. I know you've been considering it. Now's the time. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. Now's the time. And if you want a picture frame with only my pictures, I will support you. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Mamdani taps felon who served 7 years for robbing New York City taxi drivers as the criminal legal system advisor. Communists reward their friends and punish their enemies. Now, let's get to the punishing their enemies part, and we'll get to some emails and other stuff. I don't want to talk about this all night. Justice Clarence Thomas rarely speaks in the Supreme Court. He's one of the more quiet ones. He's just wonderful. When he does speak, it usually carries some weight. So let's just briefly discuss what happened here. They attacked in New Jersey, Attorney General, New Jersey, attacked a pro-life pregnancy center. Pro-life pregnancy center. Remember what pro-life pregnancy centers do. They don't politicize anything. It's not a political campaign. They help young women choose to have their babies instead of kill it, and oftentimes then provide for these women after they have their babies. That's it. It's really the most wonderful thing in the world, pro-life pregnancy centers. But communists are demonic because communism is the religion of the devil. It's devil worship. It genuinely is. And that's why they love child sacrifice so much. They quickly move past the, well, it should be safe, legal, and rare, to having rallies now where they brag about how many babies they've aborted. And it's not that they're okay with killing babies. That was always what they tried to sell you. They're okay with it. They want to. It's a desire of theirs. And you can tell because they attack pregnancy centers. Sometimes the street animals will violently attack them, firebombs and things like that. Sometimes they'll use their legal power to attack them. So they launched this investigation into this pregnancy center. Clarence Thomas asked the chief counsel why. What was the reason?
Did you have complaints that formed the basis of your concern about the fundraising activities here?
We certainly had complaints about crisis pregnancy centers that petitioned.
No, about this crisis pregnancy center.
So I think we've been clear from the outset that we haven't had complaints about this specific.
So you had no basis to think that they were deceiving any of their contributors?
I don't think that's correct, Your Honor. I think we had carefully canvassed all of the public information that is provided on the website of First Choice in making a determination that we wanted to initiate an investigation.
But you had no factual basis.
I don't think that's true, Your Honor. I think, for example, you could take a look at a comparison between the donation page for First Choice that we have carved out from the very beginning.
So you had no complaints?
We had no complaints, but the state governments, federal government, initiate investigations all the time in the absence of complaints where they have a reason to suspect that there could be potential issues of legal compliance. And look, it could be the case based on our investigation, when we look at documents, when we look at information, that ultimately will determine that First Choice isn't liable for any violation
of the law. Well, that just seemed to be a burdensome way to find out whether someone has a confusing website.
Communists use power to punish their enemies, too. If I were to ever make you attorney general of a state, you would try, even if you didn't have real legal knowledge, you would try to do the best you could as the top law enforcement officer of your state to punish criminals. But communists don't think like that at all. They can't even relate to thinking like that. The second they sit down behind the desk as the Attorney General of a state or the United States of America, they immediately start to think about all the ways they can destroy their political enemies. Attorney General sits down, sees a pregnancy center giving life to the unborn, and thinks, how can we destroy them? I have the power of the state in my hands. How can I destroy my enemies? Understand what we're up against. It really is truly demonic. It is evil.
All right.
Forget about this nonsense. I want to talk about something else. It's not something majorly on your mind. It's not something majorly on my mind, but the stories have been coming out for more than a week now. And honestly, they've been coming out since the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine war about the corruption. Zelensky's chief of staff just got the heave-ho, quote, resigned, forced to resign, whatever story you want to believe. But I think about how much of your money has been sent over there. And I think about this. The reason I brought this up is politicians, large media figures, they are so good at something. They are so good at taking something evil and horrible they want to do and breaking it down into a bumper sticker slogan that you and I will have a hard time saying no to. You understand what I mean? This actually goes back long throughout history, but Kissinger was one of the ones who talked about this. You know that phrase, support our troops? Support our troops. You've heard it before. Maybe you've even said it before. Support our troops. Support our troops. Do you know that was a Kissinger line? Do you know why he came up with that line? One, it can mean whatever he wants it to mean. Two, how can you say no to that? Who doesn't want to support the troops? Now, it's not defined in that little bumper sticker. Support our troops. I support the troops. Do you support the troops? It's never defined for you. And it's almost impossible to say, you know what? No, I don't support the troops. Who wants to be the one who says that? And I think about how when Russia invaded Ukraine, and I don't know many people who cheered for that, but I think about how it was constantly sold to the American people. I think about how many people started draping themselves in Ukrainian flags. And the second you started raising questions about, well, wait a minute, I don't like the invasion, but Ukraine is not a NATO ally. We don't have any obligations here. There are no legal obligations. Wait, why are we sending weapons? How much money are we sending over? Hold on, Ukraine was, before the invasion, the black market weapons hub of the planet. Did you know that? The number one black market weapons hub on planet Earth before Russia invaded was Ukraine. It is a country that has been filled with corruption for years and years and years. I mean, decades. They've just been plagued by it like so many of the former Soviet bloc countries have. Why are we sending this? But all your concerns got shot down with boilerplate bumper sticker things that were so hard for normal people to break down. What, do you support Russia? I guess you love Putin. Are you against Putin? Do you love Putin? Do you support Russia? Well, nobody wants to be labeled as a Putin supporter. No American, no red-blooded American who loves freedom. No red-blooded American who thinks...
You know, freedom is not free.
Nobody wants to be labeled as a Russian supporter. So they use bumper sticker phrases to weaken your defenses. And I thought about that when I heard Melinda Gates, yes, the former wife of Bill Gates, I thought about that when she just said something we should be aware of. Before we get into that, let's get into this. You should be aware that you don't have to take things out of a bottle to get rid of your pain. In fact, the idea should be getting rid of it permanently, not masking it for a few hours. And certainly not just toughing it out. What is that thing on you that hurts? Maybe you don't like going for a walk anymore. Maybe you don't golf. Maybe when you're pounding nails now, your elbow hurts all the time. What if you could get rid of it? Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It is a supplement that builds in your system over time. And for less than $1 a day, you can try it. They sell a three-week quick start of it for $19.95. Just try it. Isn't it worth 3 weeks? Take it every day. It builds up in your system. If you don't feel better after 3 weeks, I'm asking that you don't call back. You'll call back. Almost everyone does. For a reason. Stuff's miraculous. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll talk about what Melinda Gates said next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So speaking of people using simplistic ideas, simplistic terms, terms designed to make opposing them difficult for normal people, because it sounds so good, right? It sounds like it's something hard to argue against. Melinda Gates, she is one of these people. There are sadly many in our country, one of these insanely wealthy people who uses the wealth they didn't earn to destroy the country. Always, of course, in the name of doing good. Doing good. Listen to what she said.
Our institutions, if it starts to not be as reflected, we were making strides, but not as reflected in our education system or not reflected on the Hill. We're seeing the policies that are coming out of Congress, right? It's why I believe we need far more women in our state houses, far more Hispanic people in our state houses, so that our state houses then grow to Congress. Congress looks like our populace. That's where we need to get. And we just aren't there yet. And I think some of the initiatives were starting to help us.
We need more women in the state house and more Hispanics. Why? Why do we need that? But in what way is that important? Now, it's hard for normal people to argue against it because you don't want to be accused of being racist or being sexist or something like that. But they understand that's such an easy sell for people. It really breaks down people's defenses against it. Hey, I think we need more women in politics. Nobody wants to be that guy who says, why? No, we don't. Look, obviously, I'll be that guy. Everybody knows that. But normal people who have shame and who care what other people think, which is most people, normal people freeze up in that moment. And I'm not talking about just you and me talking about things over the air. I'm talking about when you get with friends, when you get with family, the holidays are coming up, and you're sitting around sipping on eggnog, and your liberal Aunt Peggy says, we need more women in politics. Do you feel bold enough, strong enough to say, why? No, we don't. We need more people with guts, no matter what their sex is. We need more people who will fight against the evils in this country, no matter what their sex is, no matter what their race is. But we don't need more women at all. That shouldn't even be considered. But it's so difficult for normal people to swallow any fear that pops up of the accusations that will come their way and argue against it. We've seen this all over corporate America with all this DEI filth that got pushed all over the place and ran white men out of corporate America as fast as they possibly could. We need more minorities. Why? Why should that be a priority for any business ever? The business should prioritize whatever makes money. The sharpest, hardworking people, no matter their race, no matter their sex, should always be the ones who get hired. Why is it important that we have more minorities? Why is it important that we have more women? Why are these things important? Ask these people these questions. They don't have solid answers. How does it help the Jesse Kelly Show? How does it help you in your daily commute? If I tell you that we're going to hire a new producer and he's definitely going to be Asian. You know what? Not he. We're hiring an Asian woman and we won't consider anyone else but an Asian woman. How does that help the show you listen to every single day? In what way could you twist yourself into knots and say, that helps. You can't. It's not possible because it doesn't help. But what they bank on is good people like you not being bold enough to argue against it. It goes back to just what we were talking about. Phrases like support our troops. Are you pro-Putin? These simple phrases chosen for a reason. It's the Jacob Frey talking about the cultural fabric.
He's wrong, and we want them here. Somali people have been an extraordinary benefit. I'll say it again. Somali people have been a benefit to our city for longer than I have been in our city. They have added to the cultural fabric of what Minneapolis is.
Well, you don't want to stand against the cultural fabric, do you? Are you trying to tear apart our fabric? They're part of the fabric here. They love these terms because it makes it hard for normal people to argue against
them. Our institutions, if it starts to not be as reflected, we were making strides, but not as reflected in our education system or not reflected on the Hill. We're seeing the policies that are coming out of Congress, right? It's why I believe we need far more women in our state houses, far more.
Hard to argue against it. It's why the old communist tactic. Remember that Ilhan Omar, please remember that her father was such a communist activist in Somalia. That's part of the reason they got rid of him and sent him over here. She was trained. She's a trained communist. And because she's been trained, she knows what words work.
He's always been a racist, a bigot, a xenophobic, and Islamophobic. We know that he called African nations a shithole in his first administration. We know that when he came down that escalator, he said he was going to stop Muslim immigration into this country. And so it is not surprising that he is going after black immigrants in this country. And it's certainly not surprising that he's choosing a black immigrant community that is also Muslim.
But that's not true. Trump allowed in this and Trump allowed in that. It can be easy to accept these arguments at face value when you don't understand why she uses these terms. She doesn't use racist, bigot, xenophobic, Islamophobic because she believes they're true. She uses these terms because they weaken your defenses against them, making you too afraid. Remember that. Now, let's make fun of a couple dumb Democrats and talk about the world of make-believe. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.